In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God's kingdom, his rule of grace, comes to us in the sacrament of holy baptism. There, we were buried or identified with the blessed death of our Lord for the forgiveness of our sins. There, we receive the forgiveness of our sins. Faith to believe in the forgiveness of our sins, and adoption as sons and daughters in the family of God's redeemed, restored, renewed creation. We are baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Today we mark the beginning of our Lord's earthly ministry as he is baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. Jesus was baptized, but he was not baptized for the forgiveness of his sins, for he himself had no sin. He was baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, as he there identified with us sinners in order to be our Savior. He is entering his state of humiliation when, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped or bragged about, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. In his state of humiliation, he limited himself to live as we do, reserving his divine powers to serve only that which heals, saves, and gives life. Nevertheless, though humbled for a season, he remained the divine Son of God, now in our flesh, and in which flesh, crucified, raised, ascended, he is now living and reigning in the position of power over all as King of the universe. With the spectacular signs of his baptism, the Holy Spirit descending upon him in the form of a dove, and the majestic voice from heaven declaring Jesus to be God's beloved Son, Jesus' baptism is more like a coronation or an ordination and a glorification. Jesus' baptism was his coronation as he is crowned with the Holy Spirit to the highest office of Savior of the world. We sing the hymn, "Crown Him with Many Crowns," not only in his state of exaltation, however, but also as the Virgin Son, the God incarnate born at Christmas. Crown him with many crowns, the one whose arm those crimson trophies won, which now his brow adorn in Holy Week. Crown him with many crowns, the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified at Easter and beyond. Throughout his earthly ministry, he never ceases being God. In John chapter 5, Jesus said to the Jews who were seeking to kill him, "The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." So today, the Father honors the Son, saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And we honor the Son, saying, "Crown him the Lord of heaven. Crown him the King. Crown him, ye kings, with many crowns, for he is King of all." Jesus' baptism was his coronation as King of all. But Jesus' baptism was also his ordination. In the rite of ordination of a pastor or priest, the word of God, prayer, and the laying on of hands, a man is placed into the office as a servant of God in the ministry of God. It is called the prophetic and apostolic office of sacrifice, preaching, teaching, healing, and shepherding God's people. Of Jesus' own evaluation of his ministry, he says no more clearly than we read in Luke chapter 4 as he points to his call document from Isaiah 61 saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And having rolled up the scroll, he sat down and said to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Greek text says literally, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon him because he is christened, anointed as a royal monarch, and ordained to evangelize, to preach good news," and then the other word translated, preach, "to announce or proclaim release and liberty." From what? Release and liberty from the captivity of sin, from spiritual blindness, from the oppression of the law of God, released by the gospel. The gospel is all his saving work he came to do by the cross and his resurrection, both before that event happened and after. That day, he told them, "This scripture, Isaiah 61, has been fulfilled in your hearing." Well, so also this day. And whenever it is preached through the mouths of those who sent, or are sent to evangelize, preach, proclaim the gospel, "This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Today, you receive forgiveness of sins, of all your sins, by faith in him who was baptized for you and in whom you are baptized. Now, the mystery follows and continues as long as we are in this body on this side of the fullness of heaven. The mystery of walking in the newness of life, Romans 6, no longer enslaved by sin, free and alive to God in Christ Jesus. But this newness of life, this freedom, may not be apparent all the time, or even some of the time. For we still struggle like sinners. We confess we are sinners, still. No longer enslaved by sin, we are freed to fight against all that which still daily so easily besets us. We still even fall and fail, sometimes in little things, but also sometimes in great life-changing ways. So here, there is little better advice than that of our dear doctor and pastor, Martin Luther, who wrote, "But when trials assail, then the true virtues of the saints come into evidence. At times, cries and wailing arise. Alas, we are nothing. We are done for. But faith, on the contrary, says, 'You have not perished. Remember that you still have the promise which has been spread out over you just like a very broad heaven. God is taking care of you, even if you do not see it or feel it. Only a little cloud has been drawn up which seems to have swallowed God. We must learn to stand boldly in faith and to think highly of our promises. Do not underestimate yourself. Since you have been baptized, and since you have God's word, have been absolved and called, think that the kingdom of heaven has been spread out over you, and that not only God, but all the angels have their eyes fixed on you. Therefore, even if all things are in confusion, heaven and earth are merged, all the gates of hell are moved, all you have to say is, I am baptized. Then all is well with you. In this confidence you will conquer, for God is taking care of you. He will not forsake you, nor will any disadvantage happen without regard to your salvation. That's Luther. Jesus' baptism is his coronation as our eternal king. It is his ordination to preaching, teaching, healing, and ultimately his sacrificial death for us and for our salvation. Finally, then, today, we celebrate his glorification, leading to our own glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.